Over the past little while, we have been reading the story of Yaakov and his relationship with Adonai Yeshua. A curiosity has developed regarding why he made the decisions he did, especially those which seem to go against Adonai's principles. My line of investigation has taken the root of a question: how are we to comprehend the mind of God? Abba Father, our great and glorious God, how we delight in any growth in understanding of who you are. To truly know your mind is something beyond my wildest imagination. I simply cannot fathom the vast expanse of your love, your wisdom, your insight, your mercies, your blessings, and so much more. Please help us today as we attempt to develop a little more understanding of you. In your holy name, we pray.
Amen.
In my research, I came across the following statement. What is so amazing about all of this is that we can know everything there is to know about God by the Spirit of God. I certainly assume this statement is true. However, it is based on an assumption the Spirit of God wants us to know everything there is to know about our God. And that, for me, is a huge assumption. I'm wondering if we are able to know everything God knows in terms of head, heart, and doing knowledge, would we become as God? Interesting concept is this, and one others have tried to achieve with, for them, devastating results. However, we are invited to know the will of God for our lives, which is an entirely different concept. The impetus for my question about knowing the mind of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot grew from the incident in which he informed Rivka, Yaakov, the younger of the twins, would dominate Esau, the firstborn, rightfully the one to receive the blessings of his father Yitzchak. I began to look for other instances where God has used those whom he has chosen, those who have displayed righteous and unrighteous behaviors, for his purposes. We read the story of Yaakov and his time with Laban last Shabbat. That drew my curiosity to what and how Adonai used and blessed Yaakov richly, even though he broke several fundamental laws of Torah. The younger brother of Esau cheated his older brother of his birthright, realizing what he did was wrong. And then he deceived his father Yitzchak into giving him the blessing received for Esau, the firstborn. Then Yaakov, like his father and grandfather before him, who knew the command of one wife for one husband, broke the instructions of Torah when he was given and accepted Leah for his first wife, although he wanted and received Rivka, took not just one wife, but four wives: Leah, her maidservant Zilpah, Rivka, and her maidservant Bilhah. So I have a very clear and fundamental question I need to ask God. Dear God, why did you bless Yaakov so richly and not Esau, even though both of these sons of Yitzchak betrayed you through their behaviors? Merely by asking that question shows my consternation with not knowing how our great Abba thinks and makes his decisions. Thankfully, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, has given us clues with his scripture to help us understand his reasoning. So let's return to last Shabbat's parasha, specifically Bereshit 28, beginning with verse 13. I won't read the entire passage of Yaakov's dream in which he saw angels moving to and from earth and heaven on a ladder. I focus on verses 16 to 18. Yaakov awoke from his sleep and said, "Truly Adonai is in this place, and I didn't know it." Then he became afraid and said, "This place is fearsome. This has to be the house of God. This is the gate to heaven." Yaakov got up early in the morning, took the stone he had put under his head, set it up as a standing stone, pouring olive oil on its top. Even though Yaakov was an unrepentant sinner, he revered and honored God. God saw the battles raging inside him between honoring his maker and satisfying his human desires. Esau dishonored God throughout his life, thus never receiving God's blessings. For me, this understanding of God's honoring those who love him and honor him, even though they sin against his word, is inspiring. Is it possible we have here a window into God's mind? Is it possible we can draw some understanding from Yaakov's complex behaviors to learn something from God's heart? I think we can. The incident with Yaakov informs me clearly of God's desires for all of us to love him and honor him more than we honor our human desires, our human wants. Yaakov displayed this when he created an altar at the site where he had his dream and was filled with awesome fear of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Then look at how Adonai blessed Yaakov. He gave him 12 sons who became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, and he blessed Yaakov by making him the progenitor of Messiah Yeshua, our Lord Jesus. How much of blessings are they? And what are the messages for us? Our blessed Adonai Tzevaot will bless us if we create with him a sincere and authentic relationship whereby he is the sovereign of our lives and we honor, revere, and love him. He knows we sin, and he will forgive us many times as we transgress his life instructions. We have his assurance of this when he shared with Kepha and us in Matthew 18, "Rabbi, how often can my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? As many as 7 times? No, not 7 times, answered Yeshua, but 70 times 7. So we know another aspect of the mind and heart of God. He is a forgiving of Abba and will forgive us as many times as we sin and repent of our sins. And I made an error. I said to you that Esau was not blessed. Well, of course he was. Esau was blessed by being the progenitor of 12 tribes. 12 tribes that inhabited the earth for a period of time until Edom was wiped off the face of the earth. Let's continue our journey by looking at Isaiah 64. Here we read, "No one has ever heard or ear perceived nor eye seen any God but you. You work for him who waits for you. You favored those who were glad to do justice, those who remembered you in your ways. When you were angry, we kept sinning. But if we kept your ancient ways, we will be saved. For they will see what they had not been told. They will ponder things they had never heard." Did you read what I read? Is it true? Adonai Elohim Tzevaot desires us to follow Torah and be saved? On the surface, that is what this passage appears to say. But let's not take this passage out of context. When we read Torah carefully, we understand salvation comes only from Adonai's grace through our trust in action, our emunah, our faith in Adonai Yeshua. Thus, following his ancient ways means our walking on his path, obedience to his mitzvot, his teachings, in the love given to us through the circumcision of our hearts, as we have read in Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And when we do this, Adonai will reveal mysteries to us that heretofore have been unknown to us. Do you read something different? If you continue to read works righteousness into these verses, then you and I need to have a long and deep conversation. Over the next little while, I'd like to explore Rav Shaul's message to us in 1 Corinthians 2. It is to us, however, that God has revealed these things. How? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit probes all things, even the profoundest depths of God. For who knows the inner workings of a person except the person's own spirit inside him? So, too, no one knows the inner workings of God except God's Spirit. Now, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, so that we might understand the things God has so freely given us. These are the things we are talking about when we avoid the manner of speaking that human wisdom would dictate, and instead use a manner of speaking taught by the Spirit, by which we explain things of the Spirit to people who have the Spirit. Now, the natural man does not receive the things from the Spirit of God. To him, they are nonsense. Moreover, he is unable to grasp them because they are evaluated through the Spirit. But the person who has the Spirit can evaluate everything, while no one is in a position to evaluate him. For who has known the mind of Adonai? Who will counsel him? But we have the mind of Messiah. First, Rav Shaul shares with us, Adonai Tzevaot reveals knowledge, understanding, and insight to us through his Spirit. For as he says, the Spirit probes all things, even the profoundest depths of God. But will the Spirit provide us with whatever knowledge of God we desire? We get a glimpse of just what the Spirit will reveal to us in John 16. I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but will say only what he hears. He will also announce to you the events of the future. He will glorify me, because he will receive from what is mine and announce it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I said that he receives from what is mine and will announce it to you. In this passage, Adonai Yeshua reveals to his disciples and to us the role of the Spirit is to only speak the truth of God and only what God wants us to know about today and the future. His other role is to glorify Adonai Elohim, who is in Adonai Yeshua, who will give to the Spirit the knowledge to share. In other words, we do not decide what knowledge God will provide us. That choice is his and his alone. But to whom will Adonai Elohim give this knowledge and understanding? Once again, Shaul provides an answer to that question. Now, the natural man does not receive the things from the Spirit of God. To him, they are nonsense. Moreover, he is unable to grasp them because they are evaluated through the Spirit. Those who have rejected God, those who have not asked for forgiveness of sin and pledged to walk in the way he wishes, will not receive knowledge or understanding from the Spirit of God because he will perceive these as foolishness and utter nonsense. And Shaul has already shared with us in 1 Corinthians 1, we go on proclaiming a Messiah executed on a stake as a criminal. To Jews, this is an obstacle, and to Greeks, it is nonsense. To this point in history, then, the vast majority of the world's population perceive Messiah and his sacrifice for us as either a stumbling block or as foolishness. And as we are seeing in today's body of Messiah, a great many of them are seeing his word, his Torah, as allegory, refusing to believe that it is the literal word of God, but merely a story that Yeshua uses as examples, but is not the word of God. These are the things we are talking about when we avoid the manner of speaking that human wisdom would dictate, and instead use a manner of speaking taught by the Spirit, by which we explain things of the Spirit to people who have the Spirit. I find it interesting Rav Shaul would make a distinction between human wisdom and the wisdom of Adonai Elohim through Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit. I find Shaul's words to be intriguing. We know this apostle of God wrote in a convoluted manner, and that sometimes, well, often, his words have been taken out of context in order to prove a point that isn't there in his words. And here we find just that in this passage. Many commentators and theologians have taken this statement by Shaul, use a manner of speaking taught by the Spirit, as telling us we should all be speaking in tongues. However, that is not what he is saying here. By telling us we use a manner of speaking which is taught to us by the Spirit, he is telling us the Spirit teaches us a godly way of speaking, not as the unrepentant speak, but as the saints who have loved God speak. Thus, our language becomes the language of love, of forgiveness, of honor, and glorifying the one who is. Clearly for Rav Shaul, human wisdom and reasoning are flawed and inferior to those of God. And that should be the same for us as well. But then I read Proverbs 12. Fools suppose their way is straight, but the wise pay attention to advice. And Proverbs 19, listen to advice and accept discipline so that in the end you will be wise. Clearly, don't these verses encourage us to seek the guidance and counsel of men? But the difference here is seeking the guidance and counsel of men and women of God, not of the world. We need to surround ourselves with people who have aligned themselves with God's wisdom, and we need to forsake the common wisdom of the world that believes truth comes through Twitter, Facebook, and instant messaging. Certainly then, Adonai speaks wisdom to us through others who have received wisdom and discernment through the Holy Spirit. But if we do not have a cadre of wise women or men around us, where are we to receive this wisdom and understanding from Adonai? As I mentioned earlier, There are two sources of God's wisdom for us, his scriptures and his revelation. Let's examine scripture first as a window into God's mind. Rav Shaul, in his mentoring of Timothy, his disciple, clearly stated the value of scripture in 2 Timothy 3. All scripture is God-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. Thus, anyone who belongs to God may be fully equipped for every good work. In this important piece of advice to his protege, Rav Shaul acknowledges all scripture from Genesis to 2 Chronicles is God-breathed. It is clear Rav Shaul was referring to the Tanakh only, to the Old Testament only, as the apostolic scriptures had yet to be written. Thus, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, breathed the words he wanted to be preserved into the hearts and minds of those who would complete the scribing. As such, Torah, the prophets, and the writings are God's truth and are valuable, I would say, imperative when teaching others truth and discipling them away from the world of sin and into the world of godly works. But what then is the purpose of the apostolic scriptures, the New Testament? Well, clearly, the New Testament reveals the truth of the Old Testament. The apostolic scriptures reveal the truth of God's Tanakh, God's Torah, prophets, and writings to us. That's all that Adonai Yeshua taught. He didn't teach anything that was not already taught in Torah, in the prophets, and in the writings. Once again, we hear the wisdom of Adonai as he revealed it to his servant Rav Shaul. Yet there is a wisdom that we are speaking to those who are mature enough for it. But it is not the wisdom of this world or of this world's leaders who are in the process of passing away. On the contrary, we are communicating a secret wisdom from God that has been hidden until now, but which before history began, God had decreed would bring us glory. A secret wisdom from God? What does that mean? Is this some Kabbalistic mystery that we are only to know if we have the secret handshake? Hardly. This is the wisdom of Adonai's redeeming grace and the truth of salvation, which comes to us freely through the salvific sacrifice of our Messiah, Adonai Yeshua, if we but repent of our sins and invite him to rule our lives. But there is a third source for God's wisdom, truth, and discernment: the mind of Adonai Yeshua himself. Throughout his 3 years of ministry, Adonai Yeshua taught only from the mind of God. All his actions, mercy, healing, sinless, passionate, devoted, calm, angry, salvific actions were pure and were guided by Adonai Tzevaot only. If we understand the mind of Adonai Yeshua, then we are able to understand the mind of God. For Adonai Yeshua is Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty. And indeed, we are commanded, if we love Adonai, to allow our minds to be changed to that of Adonai Yeshua. We are led to this understanding through Adonai Yeshua's own words, as we read in Mark 1. The time has come. God's kingdom is near. Hallelujah. Turn to God from your sins and believe the good news. Focus on the word turn in this passage. This little four-letter word has such meaning. In the Hebrew, shuv, it means turn, means to change your mind. The same is true of the Greek, metanoia, change, means to change your mind, change your thinking. And we are discipled by Ruach HaKadosh himself in the changing of our minds, to conform to the thinking of our Messiah, Adonai Yeshua. Once again, Rav Shaul guides us in this process, as he commands in Romans 8, so that the just requirement of the Torah might be fulfilled in us who do not run our lives according to what our old nature wants, but according to what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit wants what God wants, since the Spirit is of God. Thus, to change our thinking to the teachings, to the instructions of Torah, the teachings of Adonai Yeshua, the teachings of Ruach HaKadosh, is to change our ways of thinking, to change our minds to that of our God. And when we change our ways of thinking, we will change our ways of behaving. For what we think, we behave. Clearly, beloved, today we are drawn closer to the heart of Adonai Elohim Tzevaot through the teachings of God's word, Torah. We are drawn closer to an understanding of the mind of God. But we must be willing to go through this learning. We must be willing to open our hearts to his teachings. We must drop our pretensions. We must drop our pride. We must drop our arrogance, thinking and believing there is nothing more for us to learn, and be like little children, receiving openly and voraciously with passion his word. Our minds and our hearts must be transparent so we may receive his word. Only then will he, through his Ruach, his Spirit, open his mind to us. Pray, dear ones, for his guidance, for his mind to meld with yours and change your thinking forever. Abba Father, how we long for and desire to know only your mind. Guide us, please, in releasing our claims to the world of the flesh and grasp onto your mind, as we find in your word and is revealed to us through divine revelation. In your precious name we pray. Amen.